You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
The Around the NFL Podcast has hard eyes for the tiny box.
Wait a second.
All right.
Back to the workshop. From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I am Dan Hansis. Got heroes here. Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal, Miss Hard Eyes herself. That's our new voice of God, Jason Zumwalt. Jason Zumwalt. Did I say your name?
My name's Colleen Wolf, by the way. just in case you wondered.
That's a Jason special, and that he's kind of going into the Mark Sanchez bag there a little bit.
I texted with Zumwalt a bit a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And we were workshopping some ideas that would maybe surprise the rest of you down the road.
Oh, excellent.
Not immediately. It did not include that.
Sounds like a sneak attack.
I like it, though.
No, it's not a sneak attack. It's just more what Jason and I would talk about in our own free time.
I think we should encourage, like, if Mark is putting some time in, putting some time into the show away from work, we should encourage that for everyone.
Mark,
I don't like what you're suggesting there, but that's
Mark.
That's
I love you, and I love Jason, who's a longtime friend. But have you ever noticed when you make those, you drop those kind of hints or asides, like, oh, when me and Jason have our private conversations, I never ask what they are. Because it's better I don't know, because I kind of know what they're probably about.
It is better that you don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't either.
You don't want to know.
I'm with the listener.
Just let them have their thing.
Do these happen often?
Whatever the thing may be.
We were texting about the Cardinals game, for instance, during the Cardinals game on Sunday. But then it will branch
out to
a variety of topics.
Does it stay wholesome?
Star Wars mostly, right?
No, actually that... I know that, I don't think that's what Dan's referring to. That never comes up.
Oh, no.
Almost never.
This is the Tuesday show. Connie's here.
So weird.
In case you missed it, go check out Greg Rosenthal, Arif Hassan, who, by the way, Greg needs you to know, has a new job. And Justin Graver himself chopping up the doubleheader Monday Night Football. And I don't know about Connie. I don't know about you. Mm-hmm. As your theme song plays here.
I like it.
Did it kind of feel like maybe the two Super Bowl teams were playing on Monday night?
Stop it.
Did it kind of feel that way?
Stop it.
Did it kind of feel that way?
You need to stop. It's only
Graver,
two games.
It's not the Titans.
The world is not ready for that.
I mean, you were kind of getting on me a couple weeks ago. You didn't like that I picked the Eagles to the Super Bowl.
I know.
But now
everybody knows.
Bathing in the hype. Okay, good.
Yeah. No. It was very strange to watch the Eagles last night be so good and the feelings that I felt while watching them.
You know what's
something
weird?
Something I haven't felt in a little while.
We had you on the night after Carson Wentz, before we knew what would happen with Carson Wentz, when he was on an MVP tear.
Yes.
You came on after, I think it was against Washington, that they just destroyed them on a Monday Night Football game. And you had the same level of anxiety where you were a little bit unwilling to embrace what was going to happen. But what did happen? Why not just jump in and enjoy it
and take the ride? He had a career-changing injury, but they did win the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
we're talking a wider thing, like team.
Because in general, I like to set the bar very low. Like I have the bar on the ground because I don't like to be disappointed. So anything that happens, it's a nice surprise.
Okay.
So I like to expect that the Eagles are going to be trash every year. So then I can find happiness later on, maybe.
Like enjoy it while you can, though, because that's a great point.
That's a great point. College.
Well, that's a great point, Mark.
You know, counterpoint, I found covering this league for many years.
Hourly.
Tell me about your time covering the first two weeks
of the year, almost always entirely points out what's going to happen the rest of the way.
Snarkiness from Greg. By the way, how are you doing, Greg? You were ethered by Colleen's husband in a very public forum. You tweeted out, booing Jalen Reagor feels unnecessary, which I agree with, by the way, to the Eagles fans. John responds, your extra G is unnecessary. And this is notable. And I actually think, Greg, I'm going to pay you a compliment.
How is that ethered? I think that's like a very reply guy joking comment.
Just let me pay you a compliment, Greg.
Okay.
Just chill.
It's impossible.
It got 94 replies, nearly 500 retweets, and over 7,000 likes. And I think because Triple G's got some swing, it gave Johnny the pop he needed to get over on social there. So a lot of things, but you were ethered, and I don't know if you'll ever be the same. I'm just, your thoughts now that you get a public forum, maybe to take a swipe at John.
I wasn't aware that it took off so much.
It went viral. Colleen would not stop talking about it during our power rankings.
So you're like, that's my king.
You're the cool guy that never looks at your mentions.
My king.
I do, but we had the Monday Night Football recap. We were doing the Channel 5 show, and I guess, I haven't tuned in too much. I wasn't, like, checking John's Twitter feed.
Do you feel like one of your G's is exposed too much now?
No, I mean, the
G... loose G hanging out.
The G is totally necessary. If there wasn't the extra G, it would be 50% G. That, like, ruins it. 60 is the number. I love that G.
Where's the reply, though? You can't just let him take you out like that, take you behind the woodshed. You represent the entire show, Greg.
I'm not just saying that I was unaware of, I hadn't thought about it since I saw it live.
You don't think about John as a friend.
Oh, you don't want to punch down, Greg?
Well, I think it's nice. I think it's nice for friends. And this is what Philadelphia people do, to zing each other. This is the sort of relationship I want. That's right. My love language. Compliments are going to make me feel uncomfortable.
And you've been in on the Eagles some insults since the summer. So this is...
I picked the Eagles to go further than they go every single year, including to the playoffs last year.
So maybe John owes you an apology.
Sure. I stand by the Rager thing, though. It, like, Eagles fans are funny because all they do is complain about, like, oh, wow, you guys always bring up the batteries, you bring up the Santa. Well, like, this is why. This is in the same ballpark. Like, it was unnecessary. One time, a little bit, like, talk about punching down. You're punching down at Jalen Rager. He has failed in his career. He knows that. He's a bust. They should be happy that they got a draft pick for him. They're doing great right now. So all it is, like, maybe one time you give him a little boo, but it just seems strange because how unimportant is Jalen Rager to the Eagles in 2022? It was kind of, much less the last couple of years.
You know what it was? It was kind of mean girls behavior. And they, you know, the mean girls at the table, at the cafeteria, they're laughing
at you. Why did you point to me?
And heckling
right.
The poor nerd at the other side of the cafeteria. It's like, great, you guys are really enjoying yourselves, but the rest of us think you're kind of d***s.
Right. It's like one thing if it's Russell Wilson or if it's Kyrie Irving coming back to Boston or it's some like huge star. It's Jalen Rager.
Right. Let Billy it's fun.
Absolutely.
That's what they do.
But then don't be like, oh, stop bringing up the Santas. Like,
well, the Santa was so long ago.
Don't bring up the batteries.
But this is the same. It's the same thing. Now we'll bring up the Rager.
I would like to see Greg on a large screen at the Eagles Stadium, moralizing the whole thing to them.
Right.
And then see how that plays over. Because it's great to do it here. But
I think the Eagles fans kind of know they're but embrace it. Don't whine
You're a Celtics fan.
Right.
There's no new material.
Right. Like, okay. So now we got this.
We'll provide you with
just something. To put a bow on things because Greg, you know, this is his front-facing version. He did send a text to me and Mark.
This is
and
a lie.
Justin on the our private text channel. Did you see this Gonzo shit? That clout chasing motherfucker.
So that's what you were looking for? Hmm.
Wow.
So that is pretty harsh words for Colleen's husband.
Yeah. See, and I thought that you guys were pretty close, Greg.
I know that, you know, wouldn't happen because Dan wouldn't want to, like, step on anything before the show.
John's not even able to defend himself right now either.
Save it for the show.
Howie, motherfucker.
Who is that?
Connor Orr.
Oh, there he is. Love Connor. All right. Today's show. Yes, but again, check out the Monday Night Football recap. Had a Gravedigger comport himself, by the way.
Very professionally.
Yeah, the Titans did not go well on Monday.
It was more anger than sadness, which plays well on this show. We've all been there.
So speaking of the Titans, today's show, short and to the point. Well, not short, probably. The Titans are one of seven teams that will enter week three without a victory. So this feels like a good time to... Colleen, you and I do the Power Rankings podcast, which you can get right now, listeners. A good time for the Cornered Animal Power Rankings. What is a cornered animal? Mark, what is a cornered animal in sports terms?
And you're backed into a rough place, and you're going to do everything you can in your being to claw your way out of it.
Yes. Exactly. A perfect answer by Mark Sessler. So we're going to go to call back to another podcast that you and I have, Colleen, the Hard Knocks podcast.
That's right.
We use the vector voting system to figure out who is the most dangerous of the cornered animal, and on the other side of the spectrum, who is a little kitty cat. Is that a dying cow?
It's like a dinosaur, maybe.
So
why don't we start there? Do you want to get into it?
Please.
I think so.
That is the sound of a Carolina Panther. According to our vector voting system, they have 6 points total, which is very low, which means they are the least dangerous cornered animal, or maybe not. I'll give you a little update in a few minutes, but let's start with the Panthers.
It's like an update to
a tie. There's a tie at the bottom.
Oh, okay.
But we'll start
We were going to like update the voting system, which is what we do in this country now when we don't like the results. So it's good.
Now that was good.
Wow. That was on point.
John, you hear that?
You want to know what's unnecessary, John? That chain you're wearing around.
Why is John getting so much heat today? Okay, I'll have you know.
You knew he couldn't do it. You knew Greg was going to come back, and maybe I played a role in this, but I didn't think he was going to, but now he's come back.
Why don't you like a chain?
No, actually, I like it.
You've talked about how you can't be a chain guy.
So just for those of us who haven't seen John with a chain, he has a chain.
He's got a chain.
He only wears just one.
Very nice.
He only wears it when he goes out.
But John can pull it off.
No, I like it.
Gonzo can pull it off.
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, not everyone can, by the way. I sometimes worry that I don't have feelings.
The listeners should know that Mark looked directly at Greg.
Well, no, because Greg has come up with this narrative that he wants to have a chain. It's like, Gonzo is one of the rare people I know that could wear it, and you wouldn't even think
wear
twice.
The hell out of
I wasn't
chain,
saying I wanted
John.
It. I was saying Gonzo and Connie were trying to tell me that I could pull a chain, that I could wear a chain.
Can
I was like, I don't know.
Is John available at the end of the show? Can we get John on?
Yeah.
To sort some things out?
That'd be great.
All right, let's get to it. Let's talk Panthers. Collectively, we all are not high on the Panthers digging out of this hole. In fact, let's see, Greggy and Connie both had them at the bottom of the list. Connie, I'll start with you. So the Panthers at 0-2, unimpressive in the two losses. You think they're totally cooked already?
This just is a team that is floating in mediocrity right now. It's a team that there's nothing exciting about them. I just don't like what they're doing on offense. It feels like they're completely stuck. They're worse than I expected them to be this year. Everything is just like very choppy so far. I know it's only 2 weeks, but the offense is just constantly up and down. Baker Mayfield, I guess they thought that he would bring a little bit more explosion to this team, but not through these two games. Christian McCaffrey, that usage is kind of weird. It's just the whole thing doesn't give me any optimism that they're going to turn things around, at least like play a game that I'm excited to watch.
Right. Like when I thought about cornered animal power rankings in this exercise, I thought like, which one is going to be the angriest to like get out of that corner? Mm-hmm. Which one is going to like take some claws out? It wasn't really about talent. It was more about like our season is now on the line. We're in trouble. Who's going to fight to like save where we are? I don't know.
So the scrappiest team?
Like the vibes. You hate to say vibes because they lost these two games by 3 points. It's not like the players aren't trying, but you don't get a sense that there's like a center of this team that is going to hold them together. What is it that they do well? Maybe Christian McCaffrey is that center, but the offensive line is still a bit of a mess. Baker Mayfield, I would say if I had to rank the quarterbacks this week, I haven't seen your QB index. I would say 31 or 32 would be my choice.
Greggy?
You're close.
Okay, or so that, just in terms of these 2 weeks alone, not looking. And their defense isn't special. It's solid, but it's not special.
I mean, first of all, I think players are really keyed in on the coaching staff. What's being said about the coaching staff? What the coaching staff says to them? What the proven results are of the coaching staff? Matt Rhule is essentially sort of a dead man walking. I don't mean that in a personal sense, but like these guys understand, they're looking at the results. Baker Mayfield has come in and I thought played the worst football of his career. And first of all, when he's not protected well, you're going to get the worst version of Baker Mayfield. And that's what we've gotten. I mean, the first game against Cleveland, four fumbled snaps. Their line is a huge mess. Their defense, which last year at this time when they got out to the 3-0 start, was a difference maker. I don't see what you can cling on to and say, this is what's pulling them out of that corner.
Baker's not what they wanted in the last couple of years. They were looking to find a difference maker. Instead, they found a guy that I think plays, he needs to have a lot around him to thrive. And we're seeing he doesn't have a lot around him, but he also does have, he has Christian McCaffrey. He has DJ Moore. There are some pieces, but obviously this isn't a very deep team. They're in a lot of trouble. Makes sense. Are we going to see Sam Darnold in a few weeks?
What does that do for
me?
I mean,
not healthy either.
How much of it is Ben McAdoo too?
Right, like that's
the rock star offensive coordinator, Brett McAdoo.
The inspiration.
He doesn't fit to me. Like Matt Rhule has a very boring, but maybe it could be effective offense. But it's like getting the ball out of your hands and making quick decisions, which is the last thing that Baker Mayfield's good at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's a tie. As I said, I think you guys can guess who they are tied with. 0-1-1. Let's move to the AFC South. I have them at the very bottom of the power rankings, the Houston Texans. So, yes, very much so. Maybe this would be, what's the Texan? It's like a bull. Is that the logo? What's a cat?
A steer.
A steer, like a little baby.
I don't know all farm animals the way that some do.
Yeah, some do. This is my concern.
Checking it out. Don't worry, I'm on it.
My concerns, and I know there was some positive vibes around Houston entering the season, and I'll let you, the Kissing Cousins here, new Kissing Cousins with the umlaut, get their say in, because I'm curious where you guys come down now. But this offense stinks, right, so far. Anyway, they managed 234 yards and three field goals in that loss to the Broncos. Davis Mills has not played well. He's fumbled twice on Sunday, averaged less than 5 yards per attempt. And they go four and out in the final minute. And it's just like there isn't a lot of juice going on with this offense. And the defense isn't a difference maker. I think we talked about it on the podcast on Sunday. And I'll say it again after watching a lot of the games yesterday. Like, how many teams beat the Broncos on Sunday? How many teams should have beaten the Broncos? Broncos had no business winning Sunday, the product they put on the field. But Houston's that bad right now. That's why I have them at the bottom. And that's why they tie for last in our cornered animal power.
My optimism to some degree was what we saw from Davis Mills at the end of last season. I feel like right now he's regressing, or he has regressed, and you're attached to a coaching staff that I think, again, what are you telling your team when you go for that tie in week one? And that was a tie against the Colts, who are, it's looking to me like maybe a lot less of a pristine operation than we thought in August. I thought Damian Pierce would be making a big difference. I thought someone like Nico Collins would. It was more like I thought this team, this offense, would come together and maybe it would work, but that's not been the case. I mean, I don't think they're an abject disaster, though.
No, that I think that's the defining storyline to these 2 weeks is like the bottom doesn't seem that different than the middle in the NFL, and there's not many teams really at the top. It's just a big morass. And I would say that like the Texans hasn't been
like it.
The Texans haven't been disappointing. This is basically what we thought. I think they're frisky. I think actually you put them in a corner.
You think they have been so far frisky?
They've played two games.
Based on what we've seen.
Their defense actually played well.
Right, they have an average defense. They've played two games, and both of those two games came down to the last minute. They're in the NFL.
That's their team slogan.
Wow.
We're in the NFL.
My point is, like, they're very talent poor, whereas the rest of the other seven teams on these cornered animal power rankings have some more talent to it. And the Texans have been in both of these games. They're not technically, I guess they are winless. They're 0-1-1.
But they got some pressure on Russell Wilson. They sacked him three times. They picked him off two. Like the defense I thought was kind of the bright spot if there was to take away from that game. By the way, it's a bull, Toro.
Okay.
What's a baby bull?
They got the Bears this week. That's
Graver, can you let us know what a baby bull is?
Yeah, don't ask us open-ended animal questions.
Yeah.
It makes us look lacking knowledge.
And post on the podcast, just slide in a little whatever the baby bull is.
One reason that I put them like in the
Great. Gravedigger.
Yes, go ahead, Gravedigger.
It's called a calf or a bull.
It is a calf.
These are things we should know.
Bull calf.
Well, my wife grew up on a farm, so that's why I said calf, and I was correct.
What did they make at their farm?
They had cows. They had goats.
They made cows, or they unmade
cows? They made milk?
It wasn't a slaughterhouse.
The farm produces something. What did they produce?
They had cows.
Did they grow things?
It was like a...
milk. So it was a milk farm.
It was milk. It was goats and chickens. Llamas and chickens.
Sounds disorganized.
It's like the Denver Broncos. That was my wife's childhood home growing up.
This is a bull roar.
But that's too fierce for the Texans right now.
Right. Yeah.
I need to see something on offense, especially the ends of these games. Woof. Like their inability to the point where Lovie Smith got scared and played for a tie. That's how helpless they were down the stretch in week one. And then we didn't see much better. Again, this was a very soft start to their schedule. The Colts are a disaster, and Denver is completely out of sorts. To not come out of that with a win, it's going to hurt them.
My thing is so they are the kitty cat for me. Because I think the Panthers, at least the coaching staff, understands they're going to all need to be moving to another town very soon if they don't win games. Where the Texans have said, we're rebuilding, to Greg's point, we're low talent, and we've already told you that we're giving a quarterback that probably won't be an NFL starter next year a year-long tryout. We didn't trade for anyone. So it's like, are they a wounded animal? They're kind of said, we are probably the worst team. Or
no
could
one
be.
Expected them to be better than this at this point.
Why'd they fire the last coach?
That was weird. He was bad at the job.
If you're rebuilding, they were rebuilding last year too, and
I think you know what though. There was a lot of other stuff going on
because
there was
a lot of other stuff going on with the Texans. They had a plan to hire someone else than the man that they ended up hiring for a variety of reasons.
All right, we'll get to the next team right after this break.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Okay, let's now... So all of us, by the way, had the Texans and Panthers in some order at the bottom.
Okay.
So now the vector voting system heats up a little bit here. The number five team in the cornered animal power rankings, caw-caw, caw-caw, the Falcons. 14 points. Connie, your thoughts on Atlanta?
Okay, I had Atlanta a little bit higher because I think that they're a team of chaos and that they can completely kind of, we've seen it the last 2 weeks. They can dismantle a team's plans just when a team is getting comfortable in their lead. The fact that what they did to the Rams, I mean, they were dead in that game and then came back and then they blew it against the Saints. So I think that it's a team that coming into the season, I had no expectations for them to be a good team. And they've actually surprised me the past 2 weeks by putting on the performances that they have.
Boys, you want to hear something interesting? Connie had the Falcons third in her personal cornered animal power rankings.
I love it. I also think they're not a sit down and wait to see what happens to us. Arthur Smith has some bite to him. He's annoyed about the Kyle Pitts question, saying this is not fantasy football. He's telling them, back in May, I remember all of you that said we wouldn't do anything. And they are a couple plays away.
He's taking receipts, too.
Yeah, they're a couple plays away from being
2-0.
Nobody
should take receipts.
I mean, they're incorrect receipts.
Just win games. Just win games.
Why?
Because he said, write whatever you want. Some guys had us ranked 45th. Well, that's impossible.
That's a lie. Yeah,
there's only a liar. There's only 32 teams. He's like, you buried us in May? Bury us again. We don't care. We'll get back to work. You ranked us 45th. I mean, that's not how the power rankings work.
Is that what you're asking where I had him in the power rankings this week? That's what you're doing, Greg.
Please.
I know that. 29. Up one spot, though. Oh
You're a little stubborn on... Well, that's nice to hear they went up a spot, but I feel like you're not a Falcons person.
Not yet.
That first game was fluky and terrible, but they did play pretty great football for 3.5 quarters. They are frisky. See, to me, they feel like a cornered animal. They are kind of trying to fight their way out of this paper bag.
And if they have to take out your eyeballs with a beak to get out of there, they will
do that.
I mean, you know what the fastest animal on Earth is?
The cheetah.
The peregrine falcon.
Very good.
Huh.
Got my ass.
Did not know that. Thought it was the cheetah.
Falcons!
It should advertise itself more if that's true because
honestly,
no one knows that.
The marketing is terrible for this animal.
Falcon marketing.
They showed pluck there. they nearly dug out of that crazy hole against the Rams, which deserves some love. But I do – listen, Arthur, like, hey, Artie, it is a problem that you haven't been able to get Kyle Pitts involved in the offense in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's a bad look. That guy is special. So let's see it. And I'm not saying that as a fantasy owner of Kyle Pitts, which I am. But in general, right. Imagine if this offense has Drake London, who's absolutely showing he's a big-time player, and you're finding a way to scheme your potentially generational talent tight end open. That's some juice with a quarterback who can move with his legs and can get hot. Anyway.
This team's got heart. This team's got heart, Dan.
Are these the heart rankings?
They're the heart, hard eyes.
It is becoming it's increasingly confusing what we're ranking, like, but I think they fit that.
I want Connie to just do a team slogan for every team. Yeah. Team motto. Hey, this, and they're almost all, this team's got heart.
They got heart.
A bunch of plucky underachievers.
here we go. Up next, with 16 points. Interesting. The Indianapolis Colts. I was on Good Morning Football this morning. And, oh, the boys and Jamie, they really gave it to old Tugboat. Said, how could the Colts not be 32 in this league right now? And I have them at 26. And
there's a lot of bad teams.
Yeah. But you absolutely, Mark, can make a case that the Colts have been worse than anyone in football. Coming off, obviously, a shutout loss now to the Jaguars, it could not be lower. Now, I have them higher, personally, in my corner and animal rankings. I had him third, actually, because it's always darkest before the dawn, dark night. And I think that this is going to be a team that climbs up off the mat when they get healthier and Ryan, the offensive line starts playing a little better, which it will, I think, and Ryan gets more comfortable. But at the same time, if you're just looking at it from a two-week perspective, you absolutely can make the case that this is a cornered animal without a pulse.
It is a cornered animal. I think there's a pulse because this is sort of the Frank Reich way. They started 3-5 a year ago, and I was counting them out, and then they roar back, and they're 8-6 at one point. But I also look at the two games they played, and after all the summary conversation about Matt Ryan and what he brings and how much better he is than Carson Wentz, if you had to take the two games you got from Matt Ryan and the two games we've seen from Carson Wentz, I know which quarterback I'd like better, but the problem is you'd have to put Carson Wentz back into this Colts offense with a bad line. You're missing Michael Pittman. Jonathan Taylor did nothing last game. Matt Ryan is running around throwing awful picks, not seeing the field, looking like he wants a long vacation. I don't like the situation for Matt Ryan at all.
Carson Wentz right now, by the way, leads the NFC in passing yards and touchdowns.
The NFL in touchdowns. He's tied for the league in touchdowns.
There's a little bit of Fugazi stat line.
Well, so Matt Ryan has one touchdown, which is also Fugazi in the other direction.
That's just bad, yeah.
I read the tweet from another 60% G, Greg Doyle, who to me is one of the great local columnists in the
It's like Greg only follows
country.
Triple G.
No, Greg
Greg's
Doyle's
on
been
Twitter.
Doing it a long time. He writes for the Indy Star. And
Greg Bedard can't even get a follow on Twitter.
No, he's just one G. He said
G.
He's tired of writing how much he likes the Colts coach and general manager, and it's time to grow up, gentlemen. Look in the mirror. What are you doing?
Such a Triple G moment.
It's not ... And then I click, and you got to be a subscriber. So I don't know what it's not. And he also said, like, they can't pretend they're
what
not
What if it was
full
like
of,
how I actually feel? Psych. End of article.
...
You don't have, like, a promo code for 60%?
Greg should help a Greg.
They're facing, like, serious heat. So they should feel like cornered animals, but this team, I think, more than any team, should have felt like that coming into the season. They certainly should have felt like it going back to the scene of the crime in Jacksonville to come out that flat and not making any farm noises.
What did we think? That's just a cow.
That's just a cow.
But a Colt is a
maybe?
Horse. A Colt is a horse.
To come
Graver.
Back to Jacksonville and get shut out.
But they're playing like cows.
That's a layup, bro.
Gus Bradley's defense, by the way, plays the opposite of a cornered animal. It's just like, hey, you want to have an 8-yard game? Sure. Just go for it. All day,
it's
Trevor
just like
Lawrence.
A dog sure. hanging out.
I mean, yeah. Evidence suggested that would be the case with Gus Bradley's defense, but the Colts live in their own universe.
All right. Week 16, because you're going to know my answer, by the way, I set it up. Are the Colts within a game of first place in the AFC South?
They always do this.
But
they're only half a game out right now.
They play in the worst division.
Yes or no?
I think they'll be three games behind the Jaguars.
Well, then they are a dead cornered animal.
I think highly of the Jaguars.
Well, either way,
well,
if they're three games
the
behind the Jaguars, they're in trouble no matter what. Even if the Jaguars are 10-5, that means they're seven wins.
You have no integrity. If the owner said what he said about the team losing to Jacksonville to end last season and ship Carson Wentz out of town, and what we just saw, now the owner's cool with that. I mean, I think the thing could be set on fire a month from now if it doesn't get better.
I think there could be like some 1981 George Steinbrenner stuff going on in that building right now with Jim Irsay.
Bingo.
He must be completely a house on fire.
That worries
me. It all rolls downhill. The anxiety and stress that's probably sitting with that coaching staff, with the general manager, goes down to the roster.
I'm not sure what they do well.
It's a lot.
They had four pressures in that game. They have the Chiefs this week.
Chiefs,
it's just
right.
A lot of confusion. Like, Next Gen Stats measures separation from the receivers. And I guess if you're looking at Ashton Doolin as your number one receiver, it shouldn't surprise you that they had by far the least separation of any receivers in the league last week. Matt Ryan has gone to a much worse situation right now, which was
not the play. Oh, my God. That's so hard to believe.
That was not supposed to be what was happening.
This was supposed to be my team. The Colts were supposed to deliver on all of their promises, and they didn't. And when I was looking at these rankings, I kept flipping the Colts and the Titans. I couldn't quite.
Well, those are your bottom two teams in DVOA through 2 weeks, the two worst teams in football, Colts and Titans.
And it's important. I feel like maybe we should have been doing it earlier, but I'm going to start doing it now. If you're talking about a corner and animal game, like, what is their path out of the corner? The path out of the corner is not good for the Colts. They host the Chiefs right now, coming up on Sunday. Then they host the Titans, which we'll get to in a second. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to win and somebody's got to lose that. Then they go to Denver, which who knows? Then you have Jacksonville. Then you go to Tennessee. So it's like they got to figure it out now.
Well, AFC South is the path. The idea that eight or nine wins will keep you within that one game going into week 18.
Let's work under the idea, and who knows? Football is funny that way, that the Chiefs take care of business. All of a sudden, you're 0-3 with an almost equally desperate Titans team potentially.
Like 0-2-1. That tie.
The only way they're dead is if they. Yeah. Oh, that's right.
But also, can I, like, if you're 0-2, and the way that you got to 0-2 was in a drab fashion, tie the Texans that get blanked. How many shutouts even exist anymore? 20-0 by the Jaguars. You are 0-2 because you have issues.
Once they scored 0 points, they should have made them 0-2.
Number three on the cornered animal power rankings, which is not to be confused with the NFL power rankings.
Mm-hmm. Out right now.
On the podcast with Colleen and I. The Tennessee Titans, yes. 19 points, so 3 points ahead of the Colts. So as a group, we believe the Titans are in slightly better shape. What is a Titan anyway? Slightly better shape. And again, you could check out Justin in full morning mode on the Monday Night Football recap with Greg. But Justin, does this feel to you, I know you weren't involved with the vector voting here, but does this feel like a fair spot or overly generous? Where do you come in on the Titans where they are right now?
I think it's fair. Titans Twitter is in full meltdown mode, which happens when you lose 41-7.
I'm not getting any tweets from Titans fans
anymore.
Yeah,
I feel like you could spike on them, honestly, but you're above that. So
they get quiet.
And you know, Treylon Burks, he's not been the problem there.
No, Treylon Burks. You know what? Tannehill hasn't been the problem. I mean, he threw a pretty bad interception last night, but that was sort of desperation. The game's over. The offensive line, which was the biggest concern about the team coming into the season, has been bad. Run blocking, bad. Pass protection, poor. The Titans gave up a ton of pressure last night, even though they only took two sacks, which is a credit to Tannehill. The defense does not look good. They're very injured already. Harold Landry's loss was very felt last night. Christian Fulton didn't play. Bud Dupree left in the first quarter. It was a bad game. Taylor Lewan likely done for the year, so offensive line gets worse.
I mean, you just mentioned five of the most important players on their team.
It's very tough. The outlook for the Titans right now is not good. So it is what it is.
How are you personally?
I'm fine, you know. I'm emotionally detached from this
at this point.
Everyone's emotionally detached now.
You literally
from their
run a
teams.
Website.
Everybody.
Give me a break with that. I mean,
I am ready for, you know what, this is my real overreaction is that, like, Derrick Henry was fun, but it's time to evolve into a modern NFL offense, because when Derrick Henry is shut down, 13 carries for 25 yards or whatever he had last night, the whole offense is completely, it doesn't move at all. So
I thought it was notable in that game, and I'm guessing you guys might have talked about it, so we don't need to dwell on it, but, like, when the game started to get away from them, because they don't have A.J. Brown, because they don't really have a passing game that they have figured out yet, they're still giving it to Derrick Henry. And it's like, I understand why you're doing it because he's your dude, but it just shows that they were just kind of in a different weight class than the Bills, which was not what
anybody thought.
But
it's also not working.
Thought.
Like, Henry's not running effectively. I think he's actually looked like he has plenty of juice. I think he looks better than he did at the end of last season. I had him number two, though, because of institutional history here.
Okay.
The Titans remind me a lot of the Patriots, probably more than any other organization that's sort of been a Patriots offshoot, in that they are figuring things out, and I think they can problem solve, and that the whole is usually better than the sum of their parts. And I think there's a lot of animalistic,
nice,
you know, good fortitude inside of them. You know what I mean? I think they're going to fight. Their team is not going to go down easy, and it might take a little while. It's a long NFL season, but I think they're going to get out of that corner somehow.
You're in the perfect division, and also I wouldn't really want to be anyone using the Bills as a measuring stick. And that game got away from them in a rowdy environment. Like, the look on Vrabel's face about 8 minutes into that thing was like, they're out of here. They're done.
Oh, my God,
this
he couldn't even
cooked.
Watch right. on the sideline.
There's such a small, you know, margin between being in this segment or not and being in 0-2 and not. And, like, almost all of these teams had, like, one fluky play go against them in one of their losses. Not like the Titans look great against the Giants, but, you know, you had some bad luck in that game. You end up losing it, and it feels a lot worse at 0-2.
Who are the ad wizards in the NFL home office that had the Titans and Colts play both their matchups by week 7? I was going to say, I'm looking forward to the December matchup where it's really packed tight. As much as you're like, oh, it's the AFC South, you know, whatever. That would be fun because I want to see. I think both those teams potentially are going to be in the mix still in that division unless the Jaguars do get hot and become something else.
I think they've
else.
Foreseen that the Jaguars will be the story, not the same old Colts-Titans matchup.
And that's why they put Titans-Jags week 18, battle for the division.
Maybe they're playing chess here. Maybe they've galaxy-brained this thing and it was like, I know the Jaguars have been the worst team in football 2 years in a row, but now let's get them into a big spot. We'll see. But it's just weird that you have both these games knocked out by week 7.
I mean, realistically, it was a bad move.
I just love how much Titans and Colts fans hate each other. So that's why I wanted a late season game. Like, that rivalry is so
it's
real.
It's like you do a Thursday night game in the middle of December. Like, it's, you know, you check some boxes and it's going to have big division ramifications. Seems like a gimme.
But I mean, or flip side, both teams actually do stink and let's get this over with sooner than later because it won't matter in late December.
Number two. It was pretty close, but not, you know, it didn't come down to one voter. The Raiders, the silver and black Raiders, very disappointing start, 0-2, coming off a narrow loss to the Chargers in week 1 here in L.A., and then they go and bring the Cardinals into their building and go up, I think it was 20-0 at the half, and then melt down and blow that game. I think, did anybody have the Raiders as their most? No, everyone had them at 2 or 3. Greg, what are your feelings about the Raiders? To me, this feels like something, even though the division is tough, they can handle this, but they just got to get a dub. They got to get the club dub quickly.
Yeah, I believe in Derek Carr playing better overall than he has through 2 weeks. I believe in the defense looking more competent overall. That said, that sort of collapse was jarring. We tend to, like, put more weight in some way on, like, oh, they look so dominant in the first half. Like, that was the real Raiders. Well, no, you got dominated just as much in the second half and made a lot of mental errors. And it wasn't a fluky comeback.
Skittish as hell in overtime.
Right. The offense totally struggled and the defense totally struggled. That's how you blow a 20-point lead. So there are, like, inside the building concerns, but I think the players are pretty good. That's why I had them third. I only had them third. I had them behind the Titans. I trust the Titans as an organization more, but I just think talent-wise,
guess who the
good.
Raiders play
Ooh.
On Sunday?
Ooh. Spicy.
1 p.m. Eastern in Nashville. Is that a loser goes home match?
That's a cornered animal game.
Yes,
there
it is. A cornered animal showdown. Only one animal comes out alive.
This has been Dan's thing for years, the cornered animal
your
games.
Franchise.
The cornered animal has been my corner.
Right. Wes would get very excited for the cornered animal
it's
week.
It's the TV within the TV within the TV
you
within the TV.
You got to draft this game early on Thursday.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
I have the second overall pick in our draft, yes. So.
Yeah, go ahead. Take Raiders Titans.
But Mark Sessler.
Ooh.
Holds all the cards.
I will tell you now, you're going to be watching that game if you want to.
Okay.
I feel power. It doesn't attract me the way it attracts you. It's like I'll...
Yes, let me take a look at this schedule. Yeah, at Tennessee, home Denver, at Kansas City, and then the bye. They got to figure out a way to win two of those three. You're going to be okay.
I want to believe that they are the team that played in the first half of that game and not the team that completely fell apart in the second half, but...
I think they're both.
It's
overtime
tough
possession
yeah.
was a Hunter Renfrow fumble recovered.
The fumbles are bad.
A Derek Carr up for grabs ball where he badly missed his target, Devontae Adams, who did nothing in that game. And then...
2 for 12.
Another Hunter Renfrow fumble scooped and scored.
Well, I think it was this, too.
That was pretty rough.
Like, the Cardinals shifted into, cornered animal sooner than these teams. Their season was going away, and they were looking at the end
Don't put baby in a corner.
They broke out and became what they are. Like, I think, you saw, Kyler Murray's nucleus explode in the second half of that thing, and, they caught the Raiders by surprise. Now the Raiders, who spent all offseason saying, you're overlooking us, we're the team that no one believes in. Well, you're 0-2. Go win a game.
Go win a ball game.
I mean, that's the rare cornered animal at halftime of week two. We don't want to be the cornered
sometimes.
Animal. So we come out of the corner.
Like, I was looking for some sound effects before the show, and I got sucked into a YouTube video of an animal control officer putting the long stick thing with the hook to grab a coyote who was literally cornered in a backyard. Yeah. And
this is what you were doing before the show?
Yeah, no. That's why I was late getting to the studio.
What?
And... he pulled it in and threw it into the truck. It was really impressive. Maybe I'll tweet it out. But
yeah, please do.
This is the version of Cardinals being led. Here comes the guy with the hook, with the hoop thing. They said, no,
they didn't
I'm
want
out of here.
They want to know part of that.
You're not putting me in the cage.
Well, look, that's a good mentality. It worked mm-hmm. for them.
Number one, the Bengals. Listen, we have a soft spot in our heart for this team,
Always. Obviously.
Chris Wessling, his boyhood team, before he emotionally detached.
I guess we all do.
You got to admit, there's a lot of emotional detachment of boyhood teams.
Well, maybe you need to look in the mirror.
Maybe.
I mean, he never claims it. If anything, he embraces the attachment, right?
That's it. That's who I am. I can't go away.
But you want other people to change. That's my concern. I want you to do what you want to do.
No, that is – I am simply pointing out that there's a lot of emotional detachment around this
show. There is some edge to you pointing that out.
Dan Hansis, shout out.
Paul Rudd understands it. Mm-hmm. Even Greggy. He goes on national television and lies to MJD.
Right.
Says, I used to be a fan until, I became professional, which is a lie. But it's an emotional detachment as well.
Mm.
Why did you say
Connie,
that? You said
not emotionally detached from the Eagles.
No.
Tugboat, not emotionally detached from the Jets. Even though I should. Probably would be wise.
I mean, I think everyone's situation is different, and now you're just sticking everyone in the same bucket as
I'm
if
not.
These people are, two,
if it's
are
like
robots.
I want
and
you're attachment. It's hard to love in the same way that you did as a child. After incredible,
I know.
Historical success.
Again.
Wow.
Just like Mark's expressing.
It's
how you feel is how you feel. I was merely pointing out there's been a lot of emotional detachment.
That's true. I see that elsewhere
like
in media,
away.
Too, though. I think everyone, it makes sense. When you're in the sports media, it's tough. Everything's connected, and you want to at least try to create that that barrier. So it's
sure.
like
I think
your
it's
whole
more, for me, it's
exposed.
More protection to protect myself. So
right.
I try and just keep an arm's distance sometimes.
I'm with you. I could care less
right
about
in,
sports media. I know what you're saying about other people, but I thought what made our show special actually was that we actually openly rooted for certain teams.
Absolutely.
And I'm pointing out that Chris Wessling also detached emotionally from his team.
And put a lot of thought into it.
Who are number one. They are number one in the cornered animal power rankings.
And he brings it right back to the rankings.
How could they not be? Because they're the defending AFC champions. We're not going to quit on them after 2 weeks, right?
No way.
They're a Bengal Tigers. I mean, which animal out of all these actual animals? I mean, I suppose the Panthers.
A Titan. Maybe a Titan.
Titan could be 100 feet tall.
Right. It's like a Panther.
It's a mythological being.
Being led by Baker Mayfield and Matt Rhule, or a Panther being led by Joe Burrow. I mean, a Tiger. I'm going with a Tiger.
Yeah. The also offensive being led line, by a, very concerning, yeah, but...
A blocking front that could be sending
they
them...
They got to figure that
right,
out.
Right, a Bengal on track to be sacked 111 list. Times yeah. this season is true. Not good for
also Joe. Led by Zach Taylor, who's like, should I go for the green polo or the black polo today?
Oh. What does that mean? What is that supposed to mean?
I think I know what it means.
Oh, no.
Well, I would like an elaboration on that.
I mean, I think he's going for a certain tone. You're going for a vibe.
Yeah, that's just that's how I see Zach Taylor. He's always just kind of looking like he's going out for like 18 holes at the local municipal.
He doesn't have a cool black bomber jacket like Greg.
It's not so much. We talked about that when he was hired, that he just he's not bringing a lot to the table schematically
but
or as
Super
a leader.
Bowl.
Yeah, that's
so
fine. Bad coaches win the Super Bowl sometimes, or average coaches win the Super Bowl. There's lots of things that go into winning the Super Bowl. Chance being probably up there, and they had some.
So
great
just to be clear, you're saying he's a simpleton.
No, I'm saying he's not bringing a lot of verve.
He doesn't just come after you. He comes after Greg, too. It's equal opportunity.
I'm well aware at this point, but I would, to Greg's
I'm saying,
point,
like, compared to Mike Vrabel, or some of these other coaches here, is he feeling like a cornered coach, or is he making excuses about, well, those 13 sacks aren't as bad as you think? Just fix it. It's been 4 years. Joe Burrow's
been
around.
They didn't adjust with the line issues down the stretch and in the playoffs. There was no ability. Other teams can do that, and they went and got these guys, and the line is worse. So there's some void there in the teaching, instructional part of our team.
That's a good point you made, Mark.
Yeah, that's a great point, Mark.
How much longer are we doing this?
That's it. There it is. The cornered animal power rankings. We believe
their defense is good. We should get. I'm not that worried about the Bengals at all.
Greg,
they lost
when Dan
two
is attempting
close
to close the
I know,
show.
There's I'm trying a, there's to give them the actual
subconscious order. There to the rest
we
of the
didn't
people.
Give them any real football analysis. We talked about his shirts. I wasn't trying to make a personal.
You're going to get plenty of analysis on Cincinnati, who go to the Meadowlands to face the Jets in week 3, then they're home against the Dolphins, which all of a sudden seems like a frisky game in primetime, by the way, Thursday Night Football. Then they
Miami.
Go to Baltimore. Then they go to New Orleans. So, yeah, when you didn't grab a W in those first 2 weeks, I talk about it all the time on the show, the schedule makers set things up for a reason. They figured that you were going to beat the Steelers at home in week 1. They said, they could. Good chance they could take care of business against Dallas. So they're either 1-1 or 2-0 when we send them on the gauntlet section of their schedule. When you take two L's, that's how you end up a cornered animal.
And don't overlook the Jets.
Thank you. It's another great point.
Building a bridge with the host.
I
that's
love
all
that.
That's about.
Good.
Smart. I
you
love
guys.
It.
I love to see it.
I think we should take a break, hit the Thursday Night Football preview, and then tie up a loose end.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
All right, welcome back. Let's get to the first game on the week 3 docket now. And it is, it's a spicy one. An AFC North showdown in Cleveland. Pittsburgh Steelers against the Browns. And a reminder, this TNF preview is presented by Prime Video, the new exclusive home for Thursday Night Football. Now, as I promised on Sunday show or hinted, I was going to, for the first time, sit down with my boys and watch a Jets game. And I did it this morning. We watched the end of the Jets-Browns game, and it was outrageous. Actually, kind of just soaking it in. The Browns had 6 different points in that game from 155 to the end of the game where they could have won the game just by executing on a very simple scale. And yet, against the Jets of all teams, they found a way to lose this game. So now here they are with a chance to get back on track. They're in their building, Mark Sessler, but the Steelers are a familiar nemesis.
I like the matchup for Cleveland. I think, number one, you've got a Steelers offensive line that is a mess. And you've got Myles Garrett, who is playing at Defensive Player of the Year levels right now. Jadeveon Clowney made a big play in the Jets game before that thing went totally south. That right there says problems for Mitchell Trubisky. The Steelers' offense is one of the most limited offenses I've watched in a long time. I mean, there, if you look at the throw chart of where Trubisky's been throwing the ball, it looks like a Pop Warner game to me with someone who's just learning to put the ball in the air. They're not using their weapons, and I think you got Cleveland's secondary is going to be annoyed after what happened last game. Cleveland is the best rushing team in the league right now. They don't have T.J. Watt in Pittsburgh. I don't think Cleveland, despite Jacoby Brissett, who played pretty well last week, there's not really an excuse to lose this game at home.
Well, I think the excuse might be they're just banged up. Clowney is out for this game. Mm-hmm. Myles Garrett missed practice, and they said we'll see whether he plays. I believe he finished.
I think Garrett's going to play.
Yeah, I think he finished the game. But they also lost Chase Winovich, who's in theory their third rusher. They're thin there. I do think
Brissett suffered a lower leg injury, so he might not be himself right now, and he already is not a big mobile guy.
Tough on a short week.
The Browns,
he's not on the injury report.
Offensive line has been the best unit that's in this game, despite some concerns going into the season. I mean, they are getting it done. I do think we've reached kind of the tipping point with the Steelers not throwing it deep ever. That the fact everyone's talking about it as the only point this week, and there's some grumbling that they're going to at least try to do it. Deontay Johnson said, "We can only do what they tell us to do and execute it." Claypool said we have to call
Canada.
Claypool said we have to call the right plays to get down the field in the right ways. Even Mitchell Trubisky sounded like he was like, "Hey man, I just work here. I'm calling the plays that are asked." And so
we said they're arguing in the huddle with each other.
Right,
that's a mess.
It's some ugliness considering they're 1-1, which you would have taken if you're the Steelers going into the season. And I think this could be a case where all that chatter forces them to throw it deep, and ultimately that's a good idea. The best chance they have is just throw up some passes to their playmakers.
The best
and give
thing
them
that can
chance.
Happen for the Steelers is Mitch Trubisky throwing the ball deep 20
yes,
times.
Compared to
we'll
now,
see what happens.
Because
like see what happens.
Can't be worse than what they're doing.
I'm with you on that, but I don't think that's the quarter. I'll tell you one thing: Cleveland, for as long as I've watched them, have one special power, and it's not the power that helps them. They are the team that consistently fields massive debuts by players that become legendary players. And I think this is a perfect time at the midpoint for Kenny Pickett to come in and change everything and do That'd what you're fun. Talking about.
You're with all the Steelers fans. There were so
they
many
want him in
Kenny
now.
Pickett chants.
Right.
And Mike Tomlin said that, oh, he didn't hear it. Of course, like Trubisky was like, yeah, it is what it is kind of deal. But if Joe Flacco was able to do that on the Browns secondary, hey, I mean, why not let Mitch try and throw?
That
why
game
not
was on
put
the
Kenny
defense.
In?
That
I
game
mean,
was on the Browns defense.
The Browns defense,
gagging.
It has so many things to clean up. So
Special
many miscommunications. Right. So many miscues. Like, that is what led to their demise.
The next closest team in terms of like yardage allowed on blown plays has like a third as many. There's 250 yards. Their offense is actually ranked much higher than it was a year ago. It's just DVOA. It's 2 weeks. It's the running game. They've had like a top 7 or 8 offense with Jacoby Brissett, and their defense has not shown up considering the talent they have.
Brissett, with the exception of his last throw, the interception, played very well last week. In general, the meltdown was almost unprecedented, what happened in the last 2 minutes. But for 58 minutes, it kind of went the way you would think, and it was like a Cleveland team that, again, to the point where they're putting up the graphics. That was the other thing, Mark, when I was watching the game today. They're putting up the graphics of 1993, the last 2-0 start. Jurassic Park was number one at the box office. Milli Vanilli had a hit. It was just like they played well last week until everything fell apart.
You know what it reminds me of? The Browns week one game. Exact same thing happened, and they because right. they had a good kicker who finished it off, they won it, but the defense kind of gave
but
it up in a similar way.
My point being, I could see them having similar success with the blueprint if Brissett can avoid turnovers and have that great running game. I think they're my pick in this game. I'm not going to lock it up, but I also wonder, it's going to be interesting to see, Connie, Mike Tomlin is his own dude, but he's never really had to deal with this quarterback conundrum like this in his life, because as a head coach in the NFL with Ben Roethlisberger, the way he was for years and years, will he pull the trigger if the offense, which has not cleared 300 yards yet, if they're at 125 yards at halftime and Cleveland's up 13-3, maybe it is the day. Maybe it is time.
Maybe it is, but I don't think that Mike Tomlin is a reactionary guy.
I don't think
that he's
so
someone that has patience and is calculated and will see things through. But you're right. He doesn't have a ton of experience with this either. I think the whole key to the game here in Cleveland is whether or not Brownie the Elf will be part of it on the field.
That's the whole season.
Yeah, I mean, that's
like become
that's
a
it.
Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And play.
That's a new take. I like yeah. that.
There was heat around.
Size. He's like, he's exactly. going to be like 45 feet tall.
Yeah. He would be.
And the timing of the game, as bad as the ending of the game was for the Browns on Sunday, it's nice that they get to get out there. And if they put together a good performance, they're 2-1, and you kind of move past the sure. ugliness. Let's see if they can do it. It's going to be a slobber knocker.
If you're looking for like a little fun in this game, football dork stuff,
yeah.
Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is becoming like one of my favorite players in the league. Just watch 28. Every single play, watch where he is. He's always in a different spot. And he's like the future of linebackers. The way he can move in coverage and move all over the field, he has been the man.
All right. That was the TNF preview presented by Prime Video. The new era of Thursday Night Football is officially here, and it's only on Prime Video. You'll get the recap of that on the as part of the Friday Fun Show. Colleen, you're part of the NFL Network coverage, so check out Connie as she handles that, the anchor. All right, before we say goodbye, your anchor, Colleen, is your husband of many, many years, the great John Gonzalez of the Sports Illustrated fame. He has the SI podcast. A man of many talents, and now he joins us. This is, I said I wanted to close a loophole here because, John, by the way, welcome back to the show.
Gang, always good to see you.
Congrats on the Eagles. You should know at the top of today's show, I did check in with Greg because you ethered him on Twitter. You went viral, and Greg pretended like he didn't even know that he had been ethered.
That's not true. Uh-huh. I look at it differently. I look at it like a friend. That's how. That's your my love language with John. You give each other grief.
Great.
You know, that's what
that's
you do
great.
With friends. So I didn't yeah. consider it an ethering.
Then,
so the way you positioned it, trying to create a fight.
Then he took a shot at you for your chains.
That's true.
And at that point, I felt uncomfortable because I was like, John needs to be here if Greg's going to be firing off shots like that. Just because Greg chose not to answer to the tweet, you should still have the option to answer to that chain heat. So here's your chance. John Gonzalez versus Greg Rosenthal, cornered animal match.
You know, I agree with Greg that you're setting us up to fight each other.
That's not my style.
When we love each other, I think your listeners
love,
know
true love.
That how I feel about you guys. Certainly people on Twitter who see us interact know, but just in case, because we did get a lot more people involved with that tweet than I anticipated. Like I showed it to Colleen before I tweeted it and she said, that's funny. And I hit send and then it was just a million people in Rosie's mentions. So apologies for that, Rosie. But just to make it clear, I love Rosie. He's my brother, as all of you guys are. But sometimes when you come for Philadelphia and you want to behave your shame, you get what you ask for.
Oh.
Don't want none? Don't start none.
Ooh.
I wanted it. That's why I got no problem. Like I feel so good about that extra G in my name. Like you could never rock my foundation of how vital and necessary and important that extra G is. It's really a huge part of who I am.
John always throws his G's up, so this
that's true.
Makes sense.
But
that's
John.
The irony here.
Yeah.
Because I know that Greg, 60% of G, loves his G's. I love G's too. I honestly didn't think anything of it. I figured Rosie would see it and laugh and roll his eyes at me being stupid, and that would be it.
That was pretty much it from my vantage point. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
But Philadelphia had other ideas.
Well, it's fine. I love Philly. I picked the Eagles to win the Super Bowl here. But Philly does sometimes try to have it both ways. It's like, hey, we're fun. We like to make jokes. And then when you just throw in a silly joke, it's not like I was like coming after the core of who Philadelphia is as a human. It was just a silly joke. This is unnecessary.
Situation
and they take it. They take it inside their heart. And like some people got very upset.
Well, you know, Twitter is going to be mature about it. Think about it on that level of nuance, Greg.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to Greg's comment that you perhaps are too old to have chains, John.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I'm comfortable with who I am at my age. And, you know, I rock that chain with pride. You know, my dad gave me that chain, Rosie.
My dad is dead. You know, yeah, how about that, Greg?
I thought you picked it up in Greece. You know that I admire
it. My dad would have loved that chain.
Yeah.
But he is dead.
It came as a compliment when I was talking about how John like came to a get together, really you know, casual but well dressed. It was like next level.
Rosie
John
was
can
very
do that.
Keyed in I, on what was, everyone was wearing.
I was saying what I was impressed by it, and I was saying like, oh, I'm a little too underdressed here. And,
all right, just,
and it was really,
you know,
the chain that dresses it up.
Make up
clear,
your mind what your take is on this. Then
you're I guess never too old to wear a chain, though.
Okay,
that's my take.
If you can pull it off, John can.
He can.
Some.
He definitely can.
I don't
he
think
can
I could.
Off.
And, it's,
me?
And
no.
It's also late to add it. Like if I was always a chain guy, that's one thing. If you're adding it and you're
nobody knows if you're a chain guy though, because you could have just like had
right.
it under
I think
your
you
T-shirt
just know
forever.
By looking at
I don't
someone.
See Gonzo as putting himself into these age categories where he hits 40, so suddenly he has to remove 80 elements from his life and become like every other 40-year-old. Gonzo does. He blazes his own trail
like that.
Always has.
As Colleen knows, we've discussed this many times. Got to be your own person in this world. Yes. So
that's
chain,
right.
No chain. As long as you're comfortable being you,
John,
then that's good.
John,
yeah,
an
thanks.
Unbelievable appearance here. Taking the high road.
My king.
My queen.
Beautiful. All right. That's it for today's show. Next time you hear from us, it will be... Well, John didn't have to be thrown off the show.
Bye, John. You're done. Love you. See you later.
But we'll never
thanks for coming on.
Like, yeah, that was all fun, John. I'm never speaking to you again. That was it.
We'll be back Thursday with a full preview of every Week 3 game to come. So make sure you check that out. Check out the Power Rankings podcast. Check out the QB Index. Check out the Game Day View program. And, yeah. Follow
I think
us.
You got them all.
Got
yeah,
them?
That's
oh.
fine.
Well,
we'll
see
be
us
back
in
on
London.
Thursday. Yeah. That's
what
a good
day,
one.
Mark? I know it's Thursday, September
29th.
It's
29th.
Now 9 days from now, so I know math is not your thing, but
yes,
this is the 20th.
It's difficult for me.
It's in 9 days. It's next Thursday. You could sort
come
of do
see
the
us.
Math.
Come see us in London in 9 days.
Where are we at with the cutout of myself?
The
that
Connie Wolf cutout. We are
there.
Working on it. That
or
is
can a, I not even get a cutout there?
In production.
That is, that is a, the word, the corpo jargon. Efforting.
Oh.
The cutout.
Got it.
Of
okay.
Colleen Wolfe for England. All right.
A lot of
until
red
Thursday. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.